Hi, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jerry, for asking me to share tonight on communication. But here's the subtitle, Looking for the Heart of Saturday Night. Isn't that what we're all doing, right? Looking for the heart of Saturday night. And I thought, how about that in a marriage? How about looking for the heart of a Saturday night in a marriage where it's just fun? It's like, let's go, let's do this thing, and let's just have fun. Well, take your Bibles. Go to Psalm 133 and verses 1 and 2. And I'll give you a little bit of a hint of what Saturday night is all about from the Bible. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Are we still brethren, even though we're married? Yeah. What's the next verse? It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now just hang in here with me. This is an Orientalism. It is like the precious ointment, and this, by the way, is a sharing by Bishop Pillai on anointing with oil. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. The high caste people of the East take a bath every day, but on Saturday night for the man and Friday for the women, they have a special ceremonial oil bath. They believe that they are stewards of their bodies and God dwells in it. Therefore, they take very good care of their teeth, their hair, and their body. Someone who is trained to give oil baths first massages the head and shampoos it with linseed oil and coconut oil. Then he slowly and gently massages the neck and the body with oil. As he does so, the oil runs down from the head to the beard, to the skirt of his garment, which is a towel wrapped around his waist. Easterners always try to find a place where water is flowing, like a waterfall or a shower, to bathe. After the oil massage, the bather washes using soap nuts, by the way, to wash off the oil. These nuts are gathered from a particular tree and finely ground so that when used with water, it's like soap. After eating and resting, we're still looking for the heart of Saturday night. After eating and resting, the person feels refreshed and peaceful, with all the cares washed away by the delightful bath. David uses this comparison in Psalms to compare this bath with the unity and the peace one has if he will live with his fellow man as God would have him to do so. And I just thought that was just such a beautiful illustration of what it is to dwell in unity and in peace and in a marriage to have the heart of a Saturday night. Go to Genesis 2. Got to get back to the garden. That's where it all started. You know, it was really funny today. It's so funny, like when you're going to share the word, how things in life just come up, sometimes strange things. And George was at our house today washing windows. I was chatting in the kitchen with George. He was washing the windows. And Jerry had put his song list on. And all of a sudden, the song comes on, and it said, if anything goes wrong, it's Eve's fault. And I said to George, I go, and the song kept going. I go, did you hear that? And he goes, yeah, that was kind of strange, wasn't it? But it really was a song. If anything goes wrong, it's Eve's fault. I thought, well, gosh, what do you know about that? Anyway, Genesis 2, 15 through 22. Then I get a phone call from someone. I'm not going to say who. And they're like, boy, Eve really screwed it up for us, didn't she? Like, just out of nowhere. She really did. And I'm like, what are you thinking about here? And she was like, I just want to freaking go for a walk with no clothes on. I'm like, well, honey, maybe that will be available at the return. Anyways, Genesis 2, 15 through 22. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Get down to 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. We all know that, right? It's not good that man should be alone. This guy's going to need some help. I will make him a helpmeet, a companion, a helpmeet. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of it. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, oh, Betsy the cow, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And that word brought her means to be introduced. And I thought, what a beautiful way to put this out there, that God was introducing this beautiful woman to Adam, and he brought her unto the man, and he introduced her to him. And I thought, you know, sometimes we can lose sight of who each other is through the grind of life and not remember that really, as believers, that God did have something to do with joining us as a man and as a woman, as a husband, as a wife. And I also thought about in the garden, you know, God had a job for them to do, to keep busy caring and keeping it productive. And that's a thing in marriage, right? You can get on the merry-go-round of the old habits and the grind of everyday life. And somehow in the course of living that day to day, things sometimes get lost in a marriage. But God wants us to keep working it, keep it productive, keep it growing. And that's when we're going to be the most blessed in our marriages. Remember Powerful Bond, living a woman's purse is a great secret. I have lots of secrets in here for you guys tonight. There they are. First one I'm going to read is order my steps in thy word. There's a couple of things I am going to suggest for reading because I don't have time to share a lot of really what I wanted to share tonight. But there are things that I think would benefit us as married couples, including myself, because I didn't have time to study a lot of it. And I think this is one of them, order my steps in thy word. And I'm just going to read a couple of lines here that Dr. Earle had shared in Heirs Together, the Grace of Life. So the first requirement of a marriage is companionship. If you're going to have companionship, you've got to be able to talk. And that was one of the big things that Jerry was in his heart to be shared on tonight was communication, how important it is as a married couple. How you get it done is between you and your spouse. But it is so very important that you do have communication. If you're going to have companionship, you've got to be able to talk. The husband can't say something and the wife immediately get angry. Or the wife can't say something and the husband get upset and storm out of the house. I'm sure that's never happened to any of us. You've got to be able to communicate and have talking sessions. Time out. Talking sessions? Okay, let's have a talking session. There are ground rules, right? And you and your spouse set those ground rules of what they are. One of ours is that we don't walk out. We may go to another room and come back. Just to, you know, get our feet back on the ground again. But you have to be able to sit down and talk things over. If you don't have time or if you don't take time to communicate, you just cannot put a Christian family together. In a Christian family,
You married your spouse, and you should spend time building and maintaining that relationship. Heirs Together, The Grace of Life is the chapter. To build a life together takes the renewed mind with the love of God, putting God first, and communicating with one another. Without putting God first and having God's word as a rule book to go by, a marriage can never be put together. So that's our deal. This, the book of life. And that's what's going to help us in our lives. And when we are in the word is when we're most blessed, right? So that's when you can come together and you have something to give to that person. I thought about Acts 2:42. If you want to turn there, and how this would tie into a marriage. I mean, this is a pattern that God set for the first century church. But I thought, man, as I was reading through this, I thought, this is what we need. We need these truths here in Acts 2:42. And they continued. And that word continued means to be present, to stand with. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So continued means to be present, to stand with. Steadfastly is to be devoted, to be attentive, to preserve, to not faint. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They continued in the doctrine. They spent time in God's word and that fellowship, that full sharing. And, you know, it's interesting, that word fellowship, one of the usages for it means intercourse, intimacy, breaking of bread. They ate together in prayers. And golly, 60 gee whiz, how many times has the thing that's been missing in a marriage been prayer? And I, you know, I was with someone recently and they had a lot of needs in their marriage. And, you know, I said, have you ever done a prayer list? And they hadn't. But that was one of the things that really was working in my heart to share was prayer. Are we so along in our marriages? We've been married so long that we don't have things that we need to be praying about in our marriage. Well, I'm not in that boat. There are things in my marriage that need improvement. And I'm sure there's things in all of our marriages that needs improvement. And prayer is that thing you don't want to walk by. That's the thing you want to stop and be still and know that God is God and lock into prayer and see and watch God direct in that marriage and in those needs of that marriage. How important is meals? You know, I feel like mealtime is sometimes gets overlooked, especially if you're a young family. And mind you, we're covering all spectrums here. We've got marriages that are 50 years old. People have been married for 50 years. We've got some that just got married. So there's a variety of different needs in that marriage. And every marriage is different. Every marriage is different. There's different needs. It's a whole different ball game. But between you and your husband, God first, you work out your marriage, and it takes work. Anybody that thinks that marriage is easy, it's not. It can be, and it can be the heart of Saturday night, but it's not always that way. And so what do you do in those moments of great need? God has answers. 1 Corinthians 12:24. This is kind of an interesting verse. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And that word tempered there means adjusted, combined the body together. And I just thought, well, isn't that interesting? God tempered the body. And I thought about a husband and a wife. Well, look here. We might need to make a little adjustment over here. Let's see how we can work this together. Well, I might need to change something there. This might need to change so that it can come together and be a blessing to both the husband and to the wife. Tempered the body, adjusted it, combined it. God does the joining, and he can show us ways to make it work. And we're going to look at some of those ways tonight, Colossians 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Two. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Personal dedication and commitment are not an option, but a necessity. Take God at his word. We're not going to read from it, but I do want to show it to you. Here it is. Take God at his word. Another chapter that I would recommend as married couples to give a shout out to look at is in this Take God at his word, and it's Yoked with the Master. There's just so many cool things in there in reference to a husband and a wife being yoked with the Master. And, you know, that's an interesting thing when you look at that in the word, the yoking. It's both parties are working. Both parties are contributing. It's to be both people are working this thing together. And that's an interesting thing in a marriage. Sometimes there's times when the husband is pulling the load more than the wife for whatever reason. Sometimes there's times when the wife is pulling the load more than the husband. And there are reasons for that. Sometimes the needs are greater on one hand than the other. But the ideal situation is that you are working together, you're yoked together with God and with one another, and you're both in there moving, working, pulling the load. And come on, marriage can be a load sometimes, right? Sorry to bust bubbles here, but you all know it's true, right? It can be very challenging sometimes. That chapter is very good, Yoked with the Master. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And now here's another book I'm going to recommend here. He sent his word and healed them. Page 64. And this is from the teaching called Partakers of Divine Nature. You see, this eternal life, this being partakers of divine nature, gives us the potential to change habit patterns. We didn't read that verse. Will somebody read that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17? Amanda.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay, so we're all born again ones. We're all in Christ. You see, this eternal life, this being partakers of divine nature, gives us the potential to change habit patterns. We'll stop the press. You mean I can change a habit pattern? This merry-go-round of a bad habit pattern I've had in my life, I can actually change that? Can we change habits in our marriage that are not really great?
Yes.
Yes. Come on. Let's go. Let's get to this thing. Yeah, we have the potential to change habit patterns. It gives us a potential to form new habit patterns, the potential to change our conduct and our living. It gives us the potential to manifest a new kind of love, which is the love of God in the renewed mind. For we are living in God's class as his children, for we are a new creation. Well, that's very encouraging, that we have the potential to change habit patterns in our marriage. So sometimes you just got to sit down and take a look at your marriage and say, have a discussion, have a talk, communicate. Where can I do better? How can we make this thing just roll along like love and marriage, like a horse and a carriage? You know, just that heart of Saturday night, that beautiful bath, and all those lovely things that happened. Could your marriage stand some improvement? Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. I've been working through the Old Way magazine starting in 64, and I've been getting so blessed. And this is a great example. You know how sometimes you just kind of get dull to the word, and you're just like not that excited about it. It's just whatever. And I hate it when that happens. And it was happening to me. And I'm like, all right, God, we got to do something about this. You know, I don't like this. This is not what I like in my life. And God really put it on my heart to start working through the Old Way magazines. And I am telling you, it has been a field day. It's like I can't wait to get up in the morning, to get downstairs, to get to those Way magazines and start looking through the letters that people wrote, the teachings that were done. But one of the things that they had in those Old Way magazines were like little snippets. And I just love those little things. And I'll share a couple of them with you because I thought they would apply to marriages. When you are through changing, you are through. I thought that spoke pretty loudly to my heart. When you are through changing, you are through. Be patient with the fault of others. They have to be patient with yours. Are you part of the solution? Are you part of the problem? I think both. I think I'm part of the solution and I'm also part of the problem. Look what is before you and you won't see what is behind. Turn to Psalm 34:19. Says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You've heard of marital storms? Sometimes you have to weather those marital storms, and they do come. And however way they come, there's times in your marriage when it's going to be tough. And sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. We all know this, right? But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We are mountain movers. We have dynamite inside of us. And I just thought, you know, those afflictions, those storms, when they come brewing into our marriages, even if you just have a little grain, like a grain of mustard seed, even if you just have a little bit of believing, you can blow that mountain up. With God, you can blow that mountain up. That thing that's setting so heavy on your marriage that keeps you from really moving and doing the way you want to with God and with one another. You can blow it up. We have Christ in us. All right, here's another book. All right. This is The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work, the New York Times bestseller, over 1 million copies sold. So this did come recommended. I haven't really looked out there in this field of life in the world to see what's going on out there, but this is one that I think could be a blessing. I've been working through it. Honestly, I started reading this before Jerry even asked me to teach tonight. So already things are starting to roll through my heart about marriage. And there's not much I'm going to share with you from this, but there are just a couple of things. A romantic outing only turns up the heat if a couple has kept the pilot light burning by staying in touch in little ways. I thought that was cute. We need to turn up the heat sometimes in our marriage, right? And ways to do that. It only takes a small gesture to lead to another and then another. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. It can start small, yet generate enormous results. In other words, you don't have to turn toward your partner in a very dramatic way to see the benefit. Just get started, and things will improve by themselves. This is really cute. This is an example. Here's an example from my own life. One day, I overheard Julie grumbling softly as she unloaded the dryer. I could easily have pretended not to notice. We've all been there, right? I could have easily pretended to not have noticed. But that grumble was a bid, a quiet one, but definitely a bid. So I asked her what the matter was, and she said, "I don't mind doing laundry, but I hate folding it." Well, I happen to like the mindless task, like folding shirts. They give me a sense of accomplishment, sort of like going over streams of numbers in the lab. So I turned toward my wife by taking over the folding. I piled the laundry on the bed. I turned on music featuring jazz composer Bill Evans and his magical piano, and I was in heaven. Like many people, whenever possible, I try to do chores in a very self-indulgent, enjoyable way. Eventually, Julie drifted into the room. I knew she expected me to ask her for help, even though she hates folding laundry. Instead, we both relaxed, enjoyed the music while I continued to fold. Julie pointed out that it had been a long time since we'd been to our favorite local jazz club, so we ended up heading there for dinner. In the end, my turning toward that pile of laundry turned out to be a very romantic evening for us. So, you know, there's just little things in the book, they call it a bidding, but there's just little things that a husband will say or a wife will say that is asking for some attention. And too often we walk by those. And, you know, just encourage us to pay attention to one another. And just one more little thing here, which I really did want to make mention. This little chapter is called Being Distracted by the Weird World. Weird world. We all know how weird the world is. In my work with couples, I've noticed that the internet and digital devices pose a growing challenge to turning toward one another. Instant access and interaction with the outside world certainly offer enormous social benefits. It's become far easier to connect and reconnect with friends and kin, and for isolated, lonely people to reach out for support and understanding from like-minded others. However, there are downsides to all this connection. The ease with which other people can contact us at all hours of the day and night can take a toll on the intimate communication that fuels both romantic love and family life. Of course, it doesn't help that many workplaces expect employees to be available via email or social media during off hours. In some cases, constantly checking emails, posting tweets, text messages can lead to a sort of addiction in which distraction itself becomes a habit. Research indicates self-distraction has become a permanent unconscious habit for many people. All these electronic devices have gotten us used to having our concentration and focus interrupted. This culture of distraction doesn't benefit intimate relationships, which require the opposite. The habit of being aware and paying attention. Often both partners will complain that the other is preoccupied and unavailable. The old cliche of the husband who hides behind the newspaper has been replaced by the spouse of either gender who is tapping out texts, scanning social media, or engrossed in one of those irresistible cell phone games. I wanted to mention that because I feel like it was worth mentioning. I see that a lot. It happens in our marriage, you know, we'll get on the internet, we'll start this and that, and next thing you know, we'll be sitting in the room together for an hour and haven't said a word to each other. So I don't like it.
I don't like it. It's weird.
And it doesn't have to be a part of our marriages. You know, I thought about this today. You know, the challenge that Dr. Rohl gave us in the Power for Abundant Living class, put aside all your other reading material for, I forget how long he said it for. Right. And you won't recognize yourself. Well, I'd like to say if we put aside TV, telephones, all of these distractions, in 3 months, we won't recognize our marriages. These are just some things, you know, I feel that need some attention. Make friendship a top priority. Friendship is at the core of any good marriage. Now, what else do I have in my little bag of goodies? Grit. True grit. My son Taylor made this for me when I was going through a period of some challenging situations physically. And grit, God really is there. But I'm just telling you, like in marriage, man, sometimes you just got to get the grit. You got to get the grit and get in there and stay put, even though it gets rough sometimes. The grit of people who love each other and are determined to make their marriage work. Galatians 6. Because God really is there to help us in our marriages. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, as you have opportunity as a wife and as a husband, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Another book for you. Christ in You. And the chapter that I think would be of a great benefit to read in light of marriage is The Mark of Quality, because he really covers this section. You know, sometimes you feel like thrown in the towel. It's round 11, and you say nuts to the other four. Yet daily we get to the word and we just keep building our marriages. For in due season, God says, we're going to reap. And that's what we want, right? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4. You know, if something's not working in your marriage, good God Almighty, make a change. I mean, seriously, that sounds very simple, but somehow the adversary just blinds us in our walks and we don't really see it. But if things aren't working well in your marriage, then make a change. Start with something small. It doesn't have to be a massive change. It could be something small. But make that change so that it can help it work the way God wants it to work, so it can be the biggest blessing for you and your spouse. Ephesians 4:3. I'll give you an example of this. So, you know, a lot of times when children come into a marriage, you're in a major change. Life changes. Nothing is going to stay the same. It changes. And your marriage will change over the course of time. But, you know, a lot of times when you start having children in a marriage, that takes top priority. How do I say this? No husband left behind. Because I do feel like when babies come along, the husbands get, you know, they just kind of get put to the side. And I'm just like, no husband left behind. Yeah, there's going to be a transition in that marriage, but you can make that transition together. Make it work together and make the changes that need to happen. You know, so what if you both can't get to fellowship on the same night? One of you stay home, one of you go. That's a simple solution, right? I've noticed in a lot of marriages, when you hit around 40 and start moving on up, I don't know. I've just noticed there's such a stress, in particularly in the husbands, I have to say. Just this uptightness of life. And I get it. There's pressure. There's financial pressure. There's pressure, right? We know that just from being in the world. But God has a way for you to escape so you can bear it. You can bear it. And you just have to look for that way. That's why I say don't walk by prayer. You know, keep that thing moving in your marriage, because those are the kind of things that are needed, the spiritual things. Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And endeavoring is diligently active, watchful. You have to work at it with watchful diligence day after day to make an effort to keep. And that keep is to keep as a great treasure. And your marriage is a great treasure. Do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted that that spouse will always be there. You know, do not take it for granted. It's a treasure. Outside of love, it will never work. What the world calls love is not love at all. It's simply an agreement to cooperate. Love is that great thing that keeps us together in that unity and that oneness. The greatness of that love is many times misunderstood by unbelievers in the senseless world. But the word still stands, and we are to endeavor to keep that great treasure in the unity of the Spirit. But it can never be kept unless it begins with the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. That gives you humbleness of mind. It keeps you meek, keeps you forgiving, forbearing one another in love. Without that, it just doesn't work. Isaiah 32. And I think in verse 2, I've looked at this verse and I've thought of it in other contexts, but I don't think I really ever looked at it in light of looking at it in a marriage. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, and rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And that, you know, life gets hard, but in those marriages we can have that covering of a great rock in a weary land. You know, it says in James, I believe it's, where did I put it? Here it is. James 3:17. Can somebody read that? Maybe Lisi? This is a bonus, a lucky strike extra. I didn't have it in my notes, but when I was eating dinner tonight, this verse came across my mind, so we got the memo.
Okay, James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That word entreated, this wisdom from above, and it will take wisdom from above to have a marriage be successful, to have it be all that it can be. The word entreated means to make friends, to win one's favor. Make your husband a friend. Make your wife a friend. Win her favor, win his favor. And God will show you how to do that. So this wisdom from above that's peaceful, easy to be entreated, all of that, sometimes this wisdom from above drops a bomb in the middle of your marriage. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but sometimes God drops a bomb and you're like, what? This happened to me recently. And when that happens, you know, you can't walk by it. It's like the burning bush. You, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like you just don't want to walk by when God drops a bomb into your marriage. You want to just stop and take a look and take action. And sometimes that does happen. Marriage is a work in progress. At times it gets better. On occasion, it gets worse. Keep working it out. Weather the storms. It's easy for a marriage to lose its way when life shifts suddenly and dramatically. Major changes, having a baby, a job change, a move, an illness, a retirement. These are all major changes that happen to us in our lives. And it is easy for a marriage to lose its way when those things happen. But stay in there. Stay in there swinging with God. And don't be weary in well-doing, because you're going to reap the results. But sometimes you got to weather the storms. There's always more to know about each other. Life changes us. So neither of you may be the same person who spoke those wedding vows 5, 10, 30, 50 years ago. 2 Corinthians 13, this will be my last verse. I have to tell you something. Don't tell everything you know. 2 Corinthians 13. So, yesterday, Jerry and I had a situation arise. And, you know, we were mad. He was upset with me. I was upset with him. And I needed to take a walk just to go to the outside. And and I said to God, "So you want me to teach on marriage on Saturday night? Are you kidding me?" This was like World War III that blew up.
I don't even remember it.
Well, it had to do with the TV. Yeah.
Who's got the remote?
Yeah, so you know, immediately I'm like, "You want me to teach on marriage tomorrow night?" I'm talking to God. I'm like, "Yeah, right. Do you see what's happening down here?" So I went out on the patio and was looking up in the sky, trying to get it together, right? And pretty soon Jerry comes out and he sits down next to me and he says, "Will you pray for me?" And that just took everything away. You know, he was humble enough to say, "Will you please pray for me?" And when he asked me to do that, I just grabbed his hand and I prayed for him. And everything that the adversary had hit there on, God moved in quickly to heal. And that's the way it is. God can heal. Like, I think, Brian, you prayed for that, for healing, for restoring. Turn the page. Sometimes you just got to turn the page. All right, 2 Corinthians 13. Here we go. 11 through 14. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." The husband and the wife are to build that companionship. And in that companionship is the sweetness of life. And that's looking for the heart of Saturday night. Here we are. Thank you.